Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is December 14th, year 2008, and it's the third Sunday in Advent, also known as Gaudete Sunday, which is Rejoice in the Lord. It's also known as like the midway between Advent, but it's a little bit over the midway, isn't it, really? It's not exactly the midway. Now, we're going to continue talking about the Book of the Apocalypse, and I want to just give a special thanksgiving to our Blessed Mother under the title of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, because during this octave days of the Immaculate Conception, the Blessed Mother is again giving me some of the missing pieces to the Book of the Apocalypse that I needed to fit together. And even just this morning and last night when I was working on it, she's given me all this information through the intercession of our Holy Mother Mary, because I know when God's grace is really working that way. Just like we were talking about predestination about 2 years ago in 2006. So now she's given me all these little missing pieces that I needed to put together. And we're going to continue on talking about the Book of the Apocalypse. And we're going to start out by just mentioning something that I forgot to mention last week about the Book of the Apocalypse, chapter 17. And then we're going to progress into chapter 18. In 17, you remember, it spoke about the Antichrist who uses the harlot to bring him to power, which is the United States of America. And then when the harlot, the United States of America, brings the Antichrist to power, the apostate Jews in Israel and the Antichrist ruling in Jerusalem, the Antichrist no longer needs the United States, raises up the 10 kings, which means almost all the kings of the earth, if not all the kings of the earth, to fight against the harlot and to burn her with fire and eat her flesh. Now, I'm going to read that quote again, and there was something also in here that's worth mentioning. Apocalypse 17, 12. And it says, "In the 10 horns which shall sauced are 10 kings, who have not yet received the kingdom, but shall receive power as kings 1 hour after the beast." That 1 hour after the beast indicates a lightning strike so quick that when the Antichrist comes to world domination, I really believe it means within 1 day even. I mentioned this in previous sermons, or it may be in my books, that if you're a very efficient general and you're running a military campaign against an enemy, your best thing, if it's possible, is to strike at every one of your worst enemies in the same time so that they cannot rally and come against you. This 1 day indicates a very, very quick coming to power, within 1 day. And there's other prophecies that prove it's going to be like by limited nuclear strikes, which I went over that before. We're getting into that here in a second with the Apocalypse 17:16. So we're talking about when the Antichrist decides to come to full power, he's going to destroy the United States by limited nuclear strikes and Rome and the Vatican City by a limited nuclear strike around the world. And then he's going to also have invasion forces coming into the United States and taking over their other cities and so forth and so on. So your major cities are going to be nuked. It talks about coming to power 1 hour after the beast, that quick. We read about that too when he destroys the United States, who's known as the harlot, who corrupts the world and does the dirty work for the beast. When the beast no longer needs the harlot, he destroys her, Apocalypse 17:16. And the 10 horns which shall sauced in the beast, these shall hate the harlot. They shall make her desolate and naked, and they shall eat her flesh, and they shall burn her with fire. And that's going to be mostly by nuclear fires in your major cities. Now, you also read about the Antichrist coming to power in 1 hour. And the verse, when we start reading Apocalypse chapter 18, but I'm going to go to that verse right now, Apocalypse 18:8. This is regarding the harlot now, because in chapter 18, they get into more description about how the harlot is destroyed by the beast and how all these other kings of the earth are going to be mourning for her minor kings, not the major kings. Because what Antichrist is going to do when he comes to power, a lot of these world leaders that are ruling now are Freemasons. And he doesn't use them. He's not even going to need them. He's going to get rid of them and put other kings in their place. But these particular kings that are living now, that are being made rich off of the United States, that are being made rich and famous and popular by the United States, are going to mourn and weep when it happens. And it says, "Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be burnt with the fire, because God is strong, who shall judge her?" And God is allowing the Antichrist, in this case, to be his minister of justice and destroy the United States of America. And it says again, in 1 day, and death shall come upon her. I firmly believe also that these limited nuclear strikes, most of them are going to take place by Jews planting bombs underground of major capitals and just setting these bombs off. I went over that before, I think. I'm not going to dwell on that too long. Everybody's waiting for missiles to be coming over the air or from submarines in the ocean. And little Jaime the Jew's over there getting his suitcases ready with his nuclear bombs in it. And he's going to bury him under the... He owns all the real estate anyway. So all he's got to do is go deep under the ground. Not even that deep. Just go in the basement of a building he owns. And put a big Wallapalooza. It doesn't have to be big. A nuclear bomb the size of a football can blow up Manhattan. How's that? And then Jaime takes a little convenient vacation after he plants his bomb. Goes to Israel just for a while. I'll be back in a week. Gets a round trip thing so they don't suspect him. All right? And they're going to do this in all your major... It's not going to be just the United States and Rome. It's going to be other areas that represent problems to him. And this is how the Antichrist comes to world domination. And he lets the 10 kings take a lot of the blame for this, and he comes in and plays the hero and says, okay, now I'm going to call my attack dogs off. I went over that last week. Now, one thing you got to realize when we're talking about nuclear attacks, if people right now are listening to my sermon and they're getting all panicky, like I used to when I was a pagan, okay? Pagans get panicky, or people are not right with God. Because really, what does a nuclear bomb mean to a faithful Catholic? Absolutely nothing. Nada, as they say in Spanish. Nada. Not a thing. Why doesn't it mean a thing? Because you realize one good angel from God can destroy probably the whole world even, if God allows them. Remember when we were reading about that one angel when the Syrian, I think Sennacherib and his army was blaspheming the God of Israel and he was mocking the Jews, and the Jews had no army to fight against him, and then God sent an angel out that night to go into the camp, and he killed how many? 185,000 or 186,000 Assyrians in one night. One angel. We read about this in Isaiah chapter 37, 35 to 36. And I will protect this city, and will save it for my own sake, and for the sake of David my servant. And the angel of the Lord went out and slew in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And they arose in the morning, and behold, they were all dead corpses. End quote. One angel's more powerful than all of the nuclear arsenals gathered together in this world at one time. One good angel from God has the power to do that, and he had it all the time. He had it back when Adam and Eve were around. We didn't even have a modern warfare. Death doesn't mean anything to us. We all got to die anyway. If you're a good Catholic, death is your liberation and your salvation. It's the way we get into heaven. Our God is the master of life and death, the Catholic God. He's the only one. If we serve him, not only are we going to save our souls, we don't need to be on this earth. We're going to go up to heaven with our souls. And then God's not even going to allow this bum to destroy the earth. But even if he did, what is it to us? God can create another earth if he wants. We got God on our side. We don't care. You can't threaten us and come up and say, if you deny Christ, I'm going to blow up Rome with a nuclear bomb. That stupid thing they said about Cardinal Siri. Or not Siri. He was also threatened, his family. And they said, we're going to kill your family. So he said, okay, I'm going to back off and deny every dogma in the world and support these apostate antipopes. What kind of a spirit of martyrdom is that? Remember our Lord said in Mark 8, 35 to 36, he who shall save his life shall lose it. And he who shall lose his life for the Son of Man's sake shall save it. Well, that was the story going around about when the communists were threatening the Vatican under Pius XII's time. I think they're going to drop a nuclear bomb on the Vatican if they don't consent to these decrees, this Vatican-Moscow agreement. And Rome started shaking in her boots. Oh, let's sign the agreement. The bomb's coming. Now, you realize once the devil's got you backed off on one thing, he can back you off on everything. You already sold your soul to the devil just by that. My point is, folks, why are you fearing the bomb? It don't mean nothing to me. Go ahead and shoot your bombs. You want to kill me? Kill me. Blow up the bombs. It doesn't bother me. And here's my point on this. Guess who fears the bomb? The devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet and all the people that are serving him. But let's look at the devil. Why he fears the bomb and why the false prophet and the Antichrist fear the bomb. You remember what happened to the devil? He was cast out of heaven and thrown down onto earth. And into hell. And he wanders up upon earth too. But he's locked up. His playground is the earth. His home is hell. The false prophet too. He can't escape the earth. He can't recreate another earth. The Antichrist cannot go anywhere else but the earth. He fears losing the earth more than anyone else does. That's why you see all these nuclear arm agreements. That's why you see them running around and panicking that a nuclear bomb's going to go off. Because they got nowhere else to go. And when they die, they end up going from the surface of the earth to the center of the earth. They got nothing. What do we got as Catholics when we die? We go to heaven. If we're in a state of grace and we're good, we go to heaven. And then God, first of all, doesn't even let them destroy the earth, recreates the earth, and we live upon it forever. Antichrist, false prophet, Satan's already in hell and damned all the damned humans. They can't get out. He covets the earth. That's all he has. He has nothing else. He fears the bomb. That's why they fear when a rogue state gets a hold of a bomb or something, that may have some little zeal in their false religion like a Muslim was going to hit the button. They fear that. That also tells you the Muslim's not exactly on the same page as that guy. Bad as he is, he's still dangerous to them. Because that's all Satan has. It's all the Antichrist has. And it's all he's ever going to have. So if there's a contest, folks, and it's between us pushing buttons and the Antichrist is over there, and he says, Richard, you're going to do what I tell you or I'm pushing a button. I'm going to say, no, Mr. Antichrist, you're going to do what I tell you or I'm going to push the button and you know it. And I'm going to push it right now. I'm going to give you 3 seconds and my hand's on that button. And he knows, because he's the devil, he knows your thoughts. He's going to back off quicker than you can blink. Because he knows I got nothing to lose. I'll blow you to smithereens. I'll kill you before your time, and I'll send you down to the pit. Maybe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
You're not going to face me down. I'll back you down, and I'm going to keep backing you down. Because all they got is this worthless earth that is passing away, this wicked world that is seated in wickedness and hell. And he knows his home is in hell. Every now and then, God keeps throwing them back in hell and letting them come back on earth, and they get thrown down again, and they got to come back up again, and they get thrown down again. So when anybody comes up and tells you stuff about Siri, he's a chicken because he got afraid because they threatened to kill his family. Pope Pius XII, that rotten, wicked, lousy pope, got afraid because the communists came in and gave him a phone call and said, Pope Pius XII, I'm going to throw a bomb on the Vatican unless you do what I tell you. And so he starts quaking in his boots. Do you realize it's not just Pope Pius XII? Even Pope Pius VII feared Napoleon and gave in to some lousy, rotten rules that Napoleon put down on Pope Pius VII because he feared losing the Vatican. He feared for his own life. He's a coward. He stinks. Do you realize what makes a great Catholic and a good Catholic? And it's the only way any Catholic can save his soul is the spirit of martyrdom. I don't. You want to kill me? Go ahead and kill me. Read the martyrdoms. What happens in the martyrdoms, they get their limbs tore apart. They get their flesh peeled off. They get their eyes poked out. They get their scalp ripped off. A nuclear bomb, you're just toasted in a couple seconds. What does that compare to the martyrs? And some of us are going to be martyred like that. And think about it, folks. If the devil gets over on you once like that, and he knows he can keep threatening the bomb, the next thing he's going to say, give me $100,000, I'm going to throw the bomb on you. Give me $200,000, I'm going to throw the bomb on you. Give me a couple things over here that you got, I'm going to throw the bomb on you. I want you, I'm going to throw the bomb on you. And then he's got you dancing around, doing his will, because you caved in. And why is Pius XII caving in? Because he's of the world. He doesn't have true faith and trust in God. He doesn't really trust in God. He doesn't really believe in God the way he should. That type of faith and trust you need in God to be a faithful Catholic. He was a faithless bastard. Siri was a faithless bastard. Little St. Philomena makes a mockery out of Siri, who faced down Diocletian right to his face. And was tormented and martyred, and she did it joyfully, and he was confounded. Siri, I'm going to kill your family. Oh, please don't kill my family. Where do I sign? On the dotted line? Mr. Antichrist, I sign on the dotted line. I'll serve these apostate antipopes, and I'll pretend they're real popes, but please don't kill my family. Now, I tell you, folks, read my book on that, because I go into detail on that, and why Catholics have no pope in mass. And the chapter is titled, Satan Fears the Loss of the Earth. It is all he has. And the fear of the bomb instead of the fear of God. So when I'm telling you, I was a pagan once, folks. I know what it was like. I had no faith. It's like a pagan. I was an apostate. And when the Bay of Pigs happened and the nuclear bomb was, we were all shaking in our boots. Why? Because the earth is all I had. I didn't have faith. I was afraid. I used to say stuff to God. Can you let the earth get blown up after I live so I can, not when I'm around, let me live a little bit and have fun on this earth? What a stupid thought that is. How I deserved what I got. And my whole family was, and all my neighbors, and everybody was. Look at Father Gruner. What's his big thing? What does he preach all the time? World peace. He doesn't give one hoot about souls. He doesn't care. He wants world peace for everybody. He's the same as J.P. too. His whole apostolate is trying to scare people. You know, if you don't consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the whole earth is going to be blown up. And even you non-Catholics don't want that to happen. So let's please try all of us to preserve the earth and bring peace on earth. What kind of a bastard is this? Look, you know what? This guy's got nothing. We got everything. You know why we got everything? Because we got the true God on our side. We got the Catholic God on our side. In 1 Kings 2:6 it says, He maketh to live and He killeth. And Deuteronomy 39, he says, See that I alone am, and there is no other God besides me, for I kill and I make to live. I strike and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand, save the Catholic God. That's our God, folks. And everybody's going to die anyway. All right? But what I'm telling you, that's why you see these people so adamantly running around with nuclear arms and trying to prevent anybody getting it. The only people that are allowed to have the bombs are the people that are on the inside. And God's going to let that happen because God doesn't happen to want the whole world to be blown up in His plan. He says He has to cut these days short. You read about that. So God's not going to allow it to happen in His own plans. But that's why the Antichrist has been given this power to regulate, to even go into Iraq and Iran and stop it before it happens. Because it was given the beast to have this type of power. But I'm just trying to tell you people out there, I tell you why you really do got to fear the bomb if you're not in the church. Because as soon as that bomb hits, you're going to end up in hell. You understand? So your only way to... There's scriptures in here we're going to read where our Lord's telling these people when these plagues are coming down and the United States gets punished, He's telling people, please wake up. We're going to read it in a minute. He says, please come out of the harlot now. Come out of the harlot now and into the Catholic Church now before it's too late because you surely will be doomed. And you will have every reason to fear the bomb and the devil because you don't fear the true God and He's not on your side. Then you'd be happy if you were just nuked. Because when this Antichrist comes in here, he's going to torture you in the worst ways. These feminist women are going to be pilloried. They're going to be raped. They're going to be thrown into pig pens. They're going to be shredded to pieces. It's coming up, folks. You're going to see it. All right? So as I go on and read Apocalypse 18, I'm going to do that next week because I want to do a short sermon today. I want to save all next week's sermon for Apocalypse 18. I'm going to get into one more little point in here that I want to talk about. That was from Apocalypse 13 about the United States of America, who we said is also the harlot that's bringing the Antichrist to power. It mentions a description about her in here. Listen, Apocalypse 13:11, and it says, And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. That other beast was the harlot who brings the first beast to power, which is apostate Judaism, bringing the Antichrist to power. We went over that a couple of weeks ago in Apocalypse 13. But it says that this other beast, this United States, this harlot, has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. That means she pretends to be a lamb for freedom and liberty and justice. She's the good cop. While you got the communists who are the bad cop. You know the good cop, bad cop? If everybody doesn't know what that means, a good cop comes and he pretends he's your friend, but he's working with the bad cop. He lets the bad cop beat the hell out of you, and then the good cop comes in and says, hey, you know, this guy's kind of rough on you. I could sort of back him off a little bit, but why don't you help me so I can help you, you see? So the United States pretends to be the good guy, pretends to be the lamb, but speaks like a dragon. Oh, yes. Remember I told you when you told Musharraf in Pakistan to take off the military garb and step down? And Musharraf said, wait a second, am I the ruler of Pakistan or is Bush the ruler? Look at the way he spoke to Musharraf. But at the same time, they say, we're coming in here as a lamb. We want to give you freedom. We want to give you liberty. We want to liberate all you people and make you free. And remember our Lord said in 2 Peter 2:19, promising them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption. But that's what it means. The United States pretends to be the good guy. But she's always working in the background against every Catholic movement. In Mexico, supporting the people that are fighting against the Castros, and even in many cases, the United States herself got involved in wars, attacking the Catholic Church, and Catholics in Spain, in Mexico, and throughout the world. And if she doesn't do it actively, she does it secretly. By financing every anti-Catholic movement in the world. And the communist Russia to bear, he's the bad guy. He plays the bad guy. The United States plays the lamb. But they're both working for the same end. So that's one of the interpretations you're going to get in Apocalypse 13:11 about this harlot, the United States. I just wanted to mention another reason why Jesus Christ is not going to allow the Antichrist or anybody, I mean, a rogue. Antichrist doesn't want to destroy the world, I just said that. But the reason Jesus Christ is not going to let some rogue guy destroy the world by nuclear fire is first because he's allowing the Antichrist to have this power, to come to power and oppress the world, but also the ultimate fire that's going to come upon the earth and burn up the whole earth, worse than any nuclear holocaust you can dream of, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. You remember in the days of Noah when our Lord flooded the whole earth with water, but then he told Noah, I would never flood the earth with water again. The next time it's going to be fire. And we read the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to unleash a firestorm that is worse than any type of nuclear catastrophe you can think of. It also involves stars falling down from heaven and landing on the earth and burning up the earth, the stars. And the sun, even in certain portions, is going to burn the earth. But at the second coming of Jesus Christ, he's going to burn up almost the whole earth, all the wicked works on it. He's going to preserve the safe havens where good Catholics are. He's not going to burn those areas up. And then he's going to recreate a new earth. And then there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. But we read about that in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. And it says, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat, and the earth and the works which are in it shall be burnt up. That's the burning up that Jesus is going to do. And that's when literally the whole earth is going to be burnt up, except for the few wherever the Catholic safe havens are. Everything else on this earth is going to be toast. That's going to be a real global warming when that happens. All you global warming people ain't going to be able to stop that. That means libraries, all these filthy books and pornographic stores and idols and false gods and monuments to men and buildings are going to all be burnt up. So Christ is going to give you the real burn up when he comes the second time. And the prophet Zacharias mentions the same thing in Zacharias 14:12. In Zacharias 14:12, he says, and he prophesies, and Zacharias is seeing this is Christ coming. The Jews are going to try to say this is a nuclear thing, though. But let me read it. Zacharias 14:12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall strike all nations that have fought against Jerusalem. And here it means against Catholics. Because in the New Covenant era, Catholics are God's chosen people who fought against the Catholic Church. The flesh of every one shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And that's a description not of the nuclear holocaust that the Antichrist is going to unleash, the limited one, which it is going to look like that. And they're going to actually presume to fulfill that prophecy. But that really relates to Jesus Christ when he comes the second time and burns up the earth. That's the real fulfillment of that prophecy. The devil's going to ape fulfilling that prophecy when the Antichrist unleashes his limited nuclear attacks. And to read about that, see my book, Against Zionism, Plague of Fire Mimicked by Israel Nuclear Strikes. But the ultimate burning up is going to take place when Jesus comes the second time. And even before that, he's going to utilize also the falling of the stars. The sun's no longer going to give her light. We're going to get into that later on. But be aware of the fact also that the Jews are also going to pretend to fulfill that Zechariah 14:12 by limited nuclear strikes. But that really refers to Christ. And that Jerusalem doesn't mean the apostate Jews and apostate Judaism. It means the Catholic Church and Catholicism. Next week, we're going to talk about Apocalypse 18. And we're going to describe in that chapter the fall of the United States of America, who's destined to take this fall. And we're going to go over it verse by verse. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.